Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1943, Charles L. Williams.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an automotive repair shop garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.565 acres more or less, lying at the north end of Summer Place, a private road, 265 feet north of Road 291, also known as Martin's Farm Road, and being approximately 3,000 feet east of Route 5, and being identified as Tax Map ID District 334, Map 9, Parcel 1.03. The commission was provided with a copy of a letter from the applicant, which concluded with his reason for requesting a conditional use and the potential concerns with the conditional use. We also were provided with Delta provided comments in the form of a support facilities report dated July 5th of 2012, referencing that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the current level of service A of Road 291 will not change as a result of this application. For the benefit of the record, I passed down copies of a letter that I sent to the applicant on May 12th of 2012, and which in reference to the activities in the garage. The applicant was advised that he could not receive any goods, services, or payment from anyone, or it will be considered that a business is being operated from the garage. That he is not operating a business from the garage, only providing a location where friends and neighbors can gather socially and enjoy a hobby of doing repair work on their vehicles using his lift and tools. That he could not receive payment for his services for assisting friends and neighbors in doing repair work or for the use of his lift and or tools or garage. That we have been receiving complaints about the possibility of a business being operated, that the department would be periodically checking the property for compliance with regulations, that the county reserves the right to pursue any appropriate remedies to enforce a violation of any county codes, and then offering an explanation of the requirements for a conditional use for an auto repair shop. Now, the applicant's letter, which was dated April 13th of 2012, was also provided as an attachment. I'm also passing down copies of an aerial, aerial photograph of the site in the immediate area. The building in question is outlined in a highlighted with a black line around the basic property line. I'm also passing down a copy of an aerial of a packet of photographs of the site, the easement to the site, the garage, the interior of the garage, and signage placed along Martin Farm Road for your review. Is this one copy? There's some duplication, but it is those copies that were received. I'm also passing down a copy of a packet of seven letters in support of the application for your review. Make sure I get all these back. And I'm going to pass a bigger packet of letters.
Are these duplicates?
No, they're all, it's just one copy. I'll have to we'll have to copy them all later for you. A packet of 64 letters in opposition. 34 of those letters are based on one form. 15 are in another form, pre-prepared at both of those. There's five from individuals. There is five letters from one individual, the neighboring property owner, and also 10 individual letters from area residents. And that's all I have at this time, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. John Brady, member of the Bar of the State of Delaware. My office is in Lewis. I reside in Nicola, Delaware.
Okay, and your bar number is?
2977.
Okay. Counselor, if you'll make note of that, you can check that against the register in the morning. Go ahead.
That's fine.
Welcome. You've just been christened to the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing.
Not necessarily. I used to appear regularly in the 90s, and so I appeared in front of Mr. Johnson's mentor.
There you did.
And was here until 1 a.m. for a hearing in the old courthouse about the outlets down in Lewis. So it's nice to be back.
Well, the record is 2:35 a.m.
I understand. I wasn't there that late, and I don't plan to keep you that late tonight.
You may have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of the applicant who is seated next to me. Unfortunately, a number of years ago, he was totally disabled as part of a workplace accident and is on workers' compensation and therefore is ineligible to receive compensation for services performed. He had bought the property with part of his settlement, and he sold off a portion of the property a couple years ago and then built a garage so he could, as Mr. Lank appropriately stated in the beginning, have people over to help give him a place to properly repair vehicles. There were some complaints, as Mr. Lank properly noted, and through their determination, the Planning and Zoning determined that as long as he did not take compensation, he could do what he's doing. And he's not asking to take compensation. He is asking for the opportunity to have a mechanic there that can get paid by people to do some work. And I've listened, and, you know, when I looked at the file and looked at the stuff, I'd never seen that many. I apologize. I got this phone 3 hours ago, and I still haven't
figured
out.
You haven't figured out how to turn it off.
I tried. I hit the button, and I thought it was turned it off. And what I'd rather do is, well, we won't do that.
Well, you can.
I apologize. I thought I had it shut off. And I have the receipt that I got it at about 4 o'clock today because my BlackBerry died.
Oh, there's your trouble.
What can I say? So I was trying to figure out why were so many people opposed. You know, when you do your background, you have to do that. So I looked at one of the lady's letters she sent in, and contact got...
Let me give it to Julie.
Have a trash can?
No, I think my daughter will take care of it, John. Thank you.
I was trying to figure out why so many people were in opposition. And so contact was made to Hilda Degado, who is one of the people who responded in support of the application. And I have her letter, and it says, I guess you know that Charlie Williams has applied to have a zoning change to allow a C1 use on his property. And I looked at the paperwork that was filed. There's nothing in front of you for a zoning change. And I looked at the road. Okay? He's lived there for 12 years. There is a conditional use already approved on that road, 1784, which you approved and County Council approved, for that's 2,400 feet away. And that's an engine repair shop. And then I looked, and I'm like, well, if all those people, and there were a lot of form letters that came back, thought it was a C1 change, I can understand why they'd be upset. This is not a C1 change, as you well know, members of the board. This is a conditional use. So I'm remembering from my land use here, what do you like in conditional uses? Stipulations. And here are the stipulations that we propose. Very limited use of an existing garage. There's no new construction that's going to be done. No more than 2 vehicles at the time at the garage for repairs that are not owned by the applicant. Operating hours not to generally exceed daytime hours, you know, 9 a.m., 8 p.m., Monday through Saturday, nothing on Sunday. And why not on Sunday? That's because my client is the assistant to the pastor at Oak Orchard Church, and I'm sure I mispronounced something a part of that name, but the pastor's here to talk and it will testify in favor because, you know, Sunday's for a higher calling. No signs. Don't need any signs. It's going to be word of mouth when available. No feather banners. A a point that Mr. Lank and I have talked about a number of times over the years and how we're trying to deal with them in this county. There are on this road right now six contractors within 3,000 feet, which include lawn services, concrete services, heating and air conditioning services, garage service, another lawn service, okay? And the neighbor who he sold it, who sent these letters out to folks, I'm going to introduce this letter. I think it's already in the record, Mr. Lank. I think the letter from Ms. Falk to Hilda Degado is in there. They've operated D&F builders, now called Sunrise Builders, out of their Sunrise Homes LLC, out of their house. So I don't really think it's changing the climate of the area. I really don't think it is rezoning. This is an existing garage with no additional changes to be allowed. If somebody wants to give him some money for the use of the garage, as per Mr. Lang's letter, he would need a conditional use. If somebody has their car and the mechanic's working on it, and he runs to the Parts Plus or whatever the parts stores are called, Napa, Man Love, and gets a part, that he's not breaking the county code. That's the basis for the application. Okay, now, did he go door to door and get petitions? And that's kind of tough, my client being in the wheelchair. But there are a lot of people here tonight. Some are going to speak in support of the application. Some are going to speak against the application. But the part here in the letter is that it's extremely difficult. You have the potential on this letter for five lots, and telling Ms. Degado, be difficult to sell lots for family residents that will back up or look on auto repair shop. Nothing's going to change on the outside. The garage is there. People are reluctant to buy because of the noise of impact wrenches and the smell of exhaust all day long. Really don't think you have that with no more than two vehicles being allowed in the garage. And there are pictures in the packet for you of the garage and the equipment in the garage. I know I would not like small children to be exposed to this every day. This is not at the edge of the property line. And I think this is the point where I'm supposed to ask permission to approach your attorney to give you copies of the plot plan if they have not been, since I don't think they were in the application, so they can be circulated to board members if I'm reading your rules correctly.
That would be correct.
Mr. Lank read in the number. The way I look at it is, if you're holding it to the top with broad kill at the top, and you look at number from the left going to the right, what would look at the third one in the striped lots, you'll see the P and Z, okay, that's the placement where the garage is. I'll post this one. Well, you know, don't have the easel anymore. I'll borrow this easel.
Once again, if there's anyone here that has an interest, wants to take a closer look at that document, actually, I'll be happy to let anyone have one if they want to circulate it. Up to you.
That's fine, sir.
I can do it. If anybody wants to look at the document, the chairman says it's there, you can pick it up and hand it around.
Because of the number of letters and potential people in opposition, I respectfully request that I could get, at the end of the presentation of the folks in favor and against, an opportunity for a small amount of time, not to exceed 5 minutes, to respond to anything I have not addressed. You know, my crystal ball doesn't tell me what they're going to say. I know that's in your discretion.
Right. Well, we'll take your request under consideration at the time, and if we feel that the commission would benefit from that, we may permit it.
It's a hobby for him. He feels a genuine connection to the community, and he feels that getting this approval will eliminate any further complaints. The limited numbers and the stipulations, I think, will not take away from the nature of Martin Farm Road. And the person, you know, sometimes you bring an attorney in to talk to the commission because they like know a little bit about the law. And but you haven't seen, I have to be dispassionate, okay? He's very passionate, and he asked that he be have an opportunity to answer any questions you may have and to state something. My concern is I'm going to have him come up here, and I'm going to do the best.
You can run, that mic should pull forward some.
That's all right. Okay, so I can stand up. Well, it's a proven fact.
You will just give us your name and your name.
Charles Williams. Whoa, excuse me. 19833 Summer Place, Milton, Delaware, 19968.
Thank you. Okay, you're just here to answer questions. You don't have a statement at this time?
Well, yeah, I would love to speak. Well, you don't give a preacher a microphone.
Your application, but you do need to stick to the subject matter.
My goal is to be at peace with all of my neighbors. My goal is to be able to have a place for me and my friends to help those who work at Pizza Palace and those who work at Mount Air, who are the little guys in life, who need help badly. That's what I do. I don't work on cars. I have done all that I could for my neighbors for years until this came up, and I was forced to have to file this conditional use. I do not want to run a business. I do not. But in order for me to get parts for people that are in need, money will have to exchange hands. And that I will have to do. And I will go that far for anyone and everyone that I can. If you look at the pictures of my garage, I even provided you pictures of a Google Earth map that shows too many cars on the property. When I found out I broke the law, I immediately handled it within 3 days. When I found out that I had exchanged money illegally, then I went to my neighbors directly within 3 minutes of finding that out from attorney friend Clay Davis and apologized. My heart's broke. I don't want to violate a law. I don't want to violate an ordinance. And I have a passion for people. God shows me people in need. And I serve people. And that's really what I want to say. And I'll take any question that anyone has.
All right, sir. We'll find out if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with our good friend and colleague, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Williams, I heard today that talk about hiring an employee.
Yes, sir.
So you're planning to have a mechanic on site?
Yeah, I am not allowed to do work due to the workers' comp stipulations around me. Yes.
But there will be, you are planning to have one employee?
Sir, I'm planning on working on 4 cars a week. I'm asking, because the rules stipulate you have to have a number of cars, and I mean, maybe 5, but it's not going to be 2 a day or 2 every hour or 2 this hour and 2 that hour. That's not the way it's going to be. I have close friends that we have been doing this for 4 years. I had no intention when I built this garage for a business, but I'm pressured now to do what is right in the law, in the eyes of the law.
So would you share with the commission a little more about your vision and what this employee would be doing if you're only going to be working on 4 or 5 cars a week?
Well, I have the employee sitting all the way in the back.
I mean, is this person going to be there
No.
every day or part-time? Or
no, sir.
Temp?
No, sir, part-time.
As needed?
As needed. He already has a full-time job.
Okay. So this may be something that's after his normal work hours.
That's absolutely correct. And John put in there, I know on the document that I turned in, I put 9 o'clock because I thought, I don't know the laws. I thought that was the limitation for noise. And I tell you what, after 7:30, there'll be no impact guns. There'll be no noise like that. It'll all be done by hand because that's what we've done in the past.
Now, with your garage, how is it set up so that if you're repairing a car inside, how is the exhaust removed from the building? How are they able to work on a vehicle?
Just open the door. I would just open a door.
Okay, so if you're working on a vehicle, the garage door will in fact be open, not necessarily closed.
I would say that it would be closed the majority of the time, only open when necessary. If I need a restriction to have a hose hanging out the side of my garage, I'll drill a hole and put a hose out the side of my... I'm not afraid of restrictions that any of you men put on me.
Well, that's typically what I'll see in a small garage operation, is the hose where it's running outside. There's been discussion, too, about your compressor.
Yes.
And the noise that it makes.
Yes.
Would you share with the commission how you intend to address that issue of the noise?
Yes, sir. My electrician was diagnosed with cancer 3 weeks ago, pretty bad cancer, or it would have already been moved. The compressor has to be picked up, moved to the back, which is actually outside of my garage in an overhang area, and a box built around it. The holes drilled down into the concrete to add it to the floor. But Roger, he's just not up to it yet, and I don't have money to afford anyone else. So when his services become available, and my friend Jim Talber, who will do the actual moving for me.
How would you contrast the noise that's generated by your garage with some of the farming operations in that nearby area?
Well, we all have lawnmowers. I would say I'm not any louder than any lawnmower. My neighbor beside me has a Kubota tractor that runs back and forth every now and then. I have guys down the street. On any given weekend, you may hear 100 rounds. And one of those guns is a 50 caliber that you can hear for a half mile or so. I know some of the questions that were raised were about startling horses. That startles me when I'm outside. And there's really nothing that I've seen. And I have the best view of all of these horses. My house looks out the back. I get to see these horses all day long. I get the benefit of that, and it's a pleasure. Even my neighbors sometimes go out back with their own pistols and shoot their own guns. And the horses are generally used to that. But there is times, and I will admit, that they're going to be startled. Anybody's going to be startled when someone shoots a shotgun and you don't expect it.
Now, given that you're going to have an employee who's going to be working as needed and with the parts, can you describe for the commission what kind of economic benefit you're likely to receive?
What kind of economic benefit? Well, a use for my garage would mostly be the only fee that I don't even want to say request.
It's like
but
rent.
There will be some kind of benefit because I am asking to supplement my income. I'm on a fixed income. And it's not only that, guys. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I minister to people. That's what I'm there for. The mechanic's there to work on their car. I'm there to minister to people, to hearts.
That's why I was asking about the economic, because I understand, the goodness you feel in terms of helping people out. But so you're going to derive some sort of rent or some override on what the mechanic bills, that type of thing. But
it doesn't sound
like it's going to be much.
I don't look at the money. I look at the people.
No. I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Burton.
Yes, thank you. Let's talk about the driveway.
Okay.
There seems to be some question over the over the driveway. Is this an agreement that you have with the neighbor in front?
Correct. I have the right of way, or an easement, I think it's called, to use that driveway. I originally owned the driveway. When I sold the property, it got in as part of the property. We had to have a certain amount of area to fit everything on that 0.95 of an acre. So he ended up taking ownership of the driveway. I guess I have the right of way. I don't know if that's the proper terminology, easement, right of way.
Are you planning on widening that?
I did not know that that's even an option.
I'm asking.
No. It was just repaved due to some damage done years ago when the modular home was moved in. And I have made an agreement with Mr. Walker, the one I share the driveway with, that I will fix the rest of that driveway as soon as money becomes available, and it will be before this century ends.
Because there was, I read, I think, like almost two conflicting letters with the driveway.
Okay.
That you had an agreement, I think one that may have been from you and then one from Mr. Walker, that there wasn't an agreement with the driveway? Has there been an agreement?
Well, Mr. Walker and I met, I think, July 9th, maybe, or July 18th, and I take the fellow's trash for him when he needs to. Every other week, I call him up, and I say, I'm going to the dump. If you got any bags of trash, put them in the trunk. I'll get rid of them for you, and which is fine. We've been doing this for a while. And while we were in that conversation, I told him, I don't have any secrets to hide from anybody. I said, JR, Mr. Walker, I filed a petition for conditional use. And that means that I need to be legal with what's going on up and down this driveway. I said, I have nothing to hide. And him and I at that meeting handshook two agreements that I would post a sign to watch out for children because his girlfriend is pregnant. I have a grandson. The mechanic that's sitting in the back has a grandson that's pretty much there whenever he is there. And I have two grandchildren, and I have three children of my own. So we made an agreement that day without any other interruption, just him and I, two men, talking and discussing. I said, I will repair this driveway, and I will ask everyone that leaves this driveway to please be courteous to my neighbors, and I'll post a sign, and I'll fix that driveway as soon as I get the chance. Because I'd like to have the rest of mine paved as well.
Okay, and the stipulation that you put on it with two cars a day, is that what I heard?
Yeah, I think that would be max.
The way I word it was maximum two cars for repair at any one time. Right. It was not two per day to do 10 per week. That at the most there would be two cars there at any time for repair work.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be like
a Jiffy Lube.
Well, actually, it wouldn't be trying to compete with a long-established repair business.
What if a car is disabled? Where would it be parked?
Well, I have I own my own Toyota Dolly, which I've kept out of my neighbor's sight for like the last 6 or 7 months because it was a hindrance to them. So I've located it somewhere else. If something comes in on a Toyota Dolly, it will be kept inside. If you look at my garage, it's 60 feet long. I only have room to fit, during the last hurricane we had, my senior pastor, his wife's car, truck, a Hummer, my car, my daughter's car was in there. I fit six in there. That's all that can fit in there, and that's with no room for me to get around too comfortably. So if there's a vehicle that doesn't have registration, it will be inside. If there's something that comes in on a tow dolly, it will be inside.
So the number of parking outside would be how many?
Two.
Outside and then?
Yes.
Two outside, essentially two inside.
Yes. Well, not two inside and two outside, just two on the property.
Two total on?
On the property that are not my vehicles. Correct. Correct.
Okay. I have no further questions at this time.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a question for Counselor. You would? Just want to make sure I heard you correctly and looking at some of the photographs that were submitted, you're tendering that you think some of the interest in this application is that there's a misunderstanding that this is a rezoning to commercial as opposed to conditional use?
Yes. Maybe it'd be better if I handed this to Mr. Griffin. This is the letter sent by Ms. Falk saying right at the top, applied to have a zoning change to allow a C1 use on his property.
Yeah, well, I thought I would ask that because I noticed that you'd mentioned that, and I'd noticed it in the photographs that Mr. Lank passed down that are a part of the record. And as I believe you pointed out, that a conditional use is something that can operate with, if it's approved, within certain conditions and stipulations.
Absolutely.
And that for the benefit of the public, that what this commission does is try to make a recommendation to County Council, and that there will be a separate hearing on this matter on September the 18th.
That's correct.
Of this year, right here.
Okay. I also hand-wrote out the stipulations. I'm sorry, I usually prepare, but I had another couple hearings today. May I have permission, Mr. Chairman, to approach your attorney with these two items?
Sure. That, Mr.
I think
Chairman,
you read them in the record earlier, so sure, they're on the record.
I just wanted to clear that up. I'm done.
Mr.
Mr. Ross, you have any questions, sir?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay, sir. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor, anything?
I'll hand these last two up so that people can look at those.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, gentlemen, if you'd take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. The survey did show that the easement is recorded per plat.
Okay. Right, very good.
I didn't hear that.
The survey shows that the right-of-way is a recorded easement.
Okay.
All right, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1943, Charles L. Williams? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Hello, good evening. My name is Robert Ramondi. I live next door to Charlie probably about 10 years now. Well, I know he's always helped me in giving me, if I need hardware or tools to work with my tractors, things like that. He's always been right there, hands it to me, lets me use it or bring it back, you know. The man spent a lot of money on this little garage so he could have his hobby. I live just about as close as these other people. I live right next door. I can't hear no guns or anything like that for all the trees and anything. I don't know what they're talking about. I think there's a lot more going on here than what's being said. But that would all be speculation, and I'm not going to go there. Man's always been a benefit and a help to a lot of my neighbors I know, and they'll probably come up here and say the same thing. And he's a good man, and I'm glad he has that shop there because, you know, you can only have so many tools. Man spent a lot of money on them tools, and they're an asset, a benefit to a lot of people that can't afford such things. So thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Right up front here, and then after you. And then you'll be next, sir, in the green shirt. All right, sir, go ahead.
My name is Wayne Miller. I live on 28701 Screenhouse Road, Millsboro. I'm a friend of Charles. I go to the same church he goes with. I have used his garage in the past. I have an antique Ford pickup truck, a 62 Ranchero, that if you've ever owned an old car, you know they need maintenance from time to time, and he has a lift. I do not have a lift, and he's been very helpful to me, and he's never asked for a penny in return, you know, for electric bill or anything else on that. He's just offered help to me. I know also from our church he has helped several of the little old ladies that don't know where to go, don't know who to trust for oil changes and strange little noises at creaks and cranks in the old cars. He helps them, and I don't think he charges them. I haven't heard anybody say that he charged them more than just maybe for the oil that was required to change it or anything like that. Like I said, Charles is not able to work. His medical condition makes it impossible for him to get hired. But he is a lot like I am. I cannot sit down and play with computer games all day long. This garage is essential to his health and well-being, so that he has something to do to keep himself busy. Not only is he helping the people in the church and the neighbors in his community, but it's also helping keep him sane to have something to do to tinker with. So I'd be completely in favor of this. I've been there when his air compressor was running. And I've got an air compressor at my house that makes more noise than his does, and it's just residential. It's just used around my house for that. So noise I don't think would be a problem out of that garage, not typically from what I've seen being in now there. And thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Come on up, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Frank Murphy. I live in Georgetown. And I'm one of the people that had a problem with my car. I didn't have enough money to fix it myself. I was referred to Charlie, and he let me use his shop to fix the car. I didn't have money for parts at the time. He bought the parts. And then at the end of the month, when I had some money, I came back and paid him for the parts, and I gave him a few bucks for the electric. And, you know, I appreciate that very much. So typically that's the kind of people that end up coming in there to get things fixed. So I'm here to support him and getting the conditional use.
Okay. All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am. And then, sir, you all the way in the back, you'll be next.
I just want to say my husband was laid off for 10 months, and when he was laid off, he was our main source of income.
Could you state your name, please?
I'm sorry. My name's Monica Bennett, and I live in Georgetown. Okay. All of our cars went down, and we all took our cars over to Charlie, and Charlie did not charge us. But where can you go to get your car fixed and also get spiritual healing, which is something that we needed at that time? Charlie does love people, and that's what he does. And whenever we've been over there, and we've been over there a lot, and we've hopefully, I mean, my son needs to drop an engine in a car. We need Charlie's garage to do that. We can't afford to pay $1,800 for somebody to drop an engine in the car. But when we go over there, Charlie will pray with us. Charlie will help with us and just talk with us, and he's just a very good man. And he helps the community. I know that he's helped the Amen House with their vehicles, and our church, not just his church, my church, Sussex County Bible Church. He's helped people over there and the pastors over there, and he has never, ever asked us for a dime. The only time that we've ever given him money is to pay for the parts because we didn't know what to order. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you may come up, sir. But before we proceed, I want to remind you that the question before this committee is about land use. It's about whether or not that is an appropriate place for that activity. And I appreciate the comments about Mr. Williams and the good that he does, and I certainly personally appreciate it. Our question, though, is this an appropriate place for this type of activity? That's the question we need to answer. And if we feel that it is, then it will be also up to us to decide what kind of stipulations need to be so that it protects the neighbors in the neighborhood. So if you could try to keep your comments sort of in that vein, if you could. And with that, sir, you may have the floor. Give us your name.
Yes, my name's Steve Scarfo. I live approximately four houses down from Charles.
Okay, so you're in the neighborhood.
I'm in the neighborhood on the street.
Okay.
I hear nothing of the compressor because I am a few houses away, but when I'm there, it's not noisy by no means. Again, just like the people stated, Charles is a good man, lets you slide on the money. I brought my trucks in there. He lets me change the oil. He can't help me, but he lets me have use of everything, right. Tools. And it's just a benefit to our street. And with that being said, that's all.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir, in favor. Come on up.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Chris Bennett. I'm from Georgetown. I've been over to Charlie's shop multiple times. I'm in the heating and air conditioning refrigeration business. I've been up and down the road over there multiple times and seen the businesses that operate out of their properties over there. I'd like to state that Charles' hobby at the house would serve no impact on neighbors, the roadway, noise levels, scaring of the horses. The case was brought up about exhaust in the building. I don't know if any of you has had the occasion to be over at Charles's property, but he has two large front doors, roll-up doors, that are, I'm not sure, but I think the front ones are automated, but he also has a large rear door that faces out into the field. If he needs to disperse any exhaust fumes or so forth, that back garage door with the front one still being closed would adequately ventilate that garage. With the situation that's going on, I offered to put air conditioning in that building for Charles at no cost, just as a favor. We searched out and we found some equipment, but with this conditional use going on. Unfortunately, with this hot summer, I told Charles it would probably be best to put it on hold until this was all resolved, and at that point, then we can go ahead and move forward on it. I've been over there when Charles is busy, and there's his two cars parked out front and maybe one other vehicle that's being serviced or waiting to be serviced is not an impediment on the neighbors to look like a used car lot. He has plenty of storage inside the building. I think that you should vote in favor of this conditional use for the fact of the low impact, but the helping of the community as well. Thank you for your time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir, all the way in the back with the orange shirt.
Hello, my name is Joseph Harris. I live on Martin's Farm Road, about five houses down from Charles. I have no problems with what he wants to do, as long as we're not running a Jiffy Lube. He is there for the community when needed. And everybody has their certain things that they do. I do not see a noise problem. No one has a problem with a horse running or a motorcycle going down the road or anything like that. And so long as we don't have a Jiffy Lube type operation, I do not have no problems with
it. And you live where, did you say?
Martin's Farm, about five houses down, 27429 Martin's Farm.
Five houses down.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I plowed his driveway a few times during the snowstorm, and I would know if I was broke down that, yes, we could run to him. And the people that are against him today, it doesn't even matter. If they were broke down, the man would come and do what he could do to help them out. So as long as they're not trying to put a Jiffy Lube in, I don't have a problem with it. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay. Anyone else want to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Come on up. If I hear one more time about what a great man he is, we're going to make him a saint right now.
My name's Alan Sheldon. I'm from Frankfort, Delaware, and I'm said mechanic in the back. I go up to Charles. I have three kids. I work on all their vehicles up there, but more than that, I work a full-time job in a garage that makes a lot of noise. It's full of fumes. Being at Charles is nothing like that. It's, you know, it's a hobby, really. I go up there for sanctity. It's, like I said, we have one or two cars there at a time. It's very clean around the property. We don't throw parts outside. We get rid of, you know, anything, any mess that's made, we take care of immediately. It's just knowing what a real automotive repair business can produce as far as waste and fumes and so on. It's just not, it doesn't happen there. It's just it's a hobbyist job. And as far as noise, we're very courteous when it comes to the noise. Occasionally, we got a couple friends that come over that have hot rods. You know, they don't burn out down the driveway, but yeah, their cars make a little noise, you know, pulling in and out, but no louder than the neighbors' Harleys with altered exhaust systems that probably don't scare their horses. But basically, that's all I have to say. It's just I know what a real shop, you know, produces as far as that.
All right, sir. We thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, and you'll be next in the back. All right, no, you're next. Okay. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I'm Alan Miller. I live at 32615 Oak Orchard Road in Millsboro. I am his pastor. I would put sainthood on hold for a while if I were you. So, Charles is a good guy, but
fortunately for everyone, it's not up to me.
There you go. No, in all seriousness, I have been there often. And I also have a neighbor who lives right behind me who enjoys working on cars. He's got the proverbial shade tree in the whole nine yards. He has an impact wrench. He has a compressor. But he's also a neighbor. And, he bought that place. I didn't buy it. It's his. And I kind of figure as long as he keeps his on his side of that little line that we don't pay that much attention to, I can kind of put up with it. I don't know if he's doing ministry or what. I know he enjoys having a little fun on weekends, and it gets a little noisy there too, but he's still my neighbor. My point is, I think Charles is willing to try really hard to be a good neighbor, and I don't think what he's doing is hurting anybody. He certainly doesn't intend to, and if he is willing to work with his neighbors and they're willing to work with him, I don't think there ought to be a problem.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Hi, my name is Bob Rankin. I'm probably 10 places up from Charlie. I know from some of the other neighbors up and down Martin's Farm Road, Charlie's place looks pretty nice compared to some of them. I feel that you own a piece of property, you should be able to do what you want on it. I know when I was down there, far as noise is no different than any road and any car that's traveling up and down that road. There's nobody tied up against them, so I'm in favor for them.
Okay. All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? All right, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1943, Charles L. Williams? We'll start up here with the gentleman in the dark shirt. We'll work our way back. Now, I want to warn you, if you get up here and you confess all this man's sins now, that's not going to mean any more than everybody that said what a great guy he is. This is about land use. I need you to tell me why, if you're in opposition, tell me why this is not a good place for this. Go ahead.
My name is Robert Walker, Jr. I live at 19829 Summer Place, Milton, Delaware, 19968. I live directly in front of Charles. I just would like to read something here. I have a couple of
you may, sure.
Here to this gentleman here.
It would be helpful to give it to this gentleman over here because he's the one that's taking all the notes.
Trying to.
And
thank you.
Okay, first of all, one of the reasons to deny is my property value. Mm-hmm. An auto repair shop by nature is noisy, smells of petroleum products, produces additional air pollution, is unsightly, contributes to ground pollution, would have unattractive signage, and should not be allowed in an AR1 zone. This use would bring hundreds of strangers into my backyard. I would have no privacy. These factors would seriously limit the number of potential buyers and would immensely limit the assessed value of my property for sale purposes. Two expert licensed real estate agents have written letters verifying this concern. I purchased this property as an AR1 zoned residential property, fully expecting that high traffic and nuisance business uses would not be permitted. Secondly, is the private right-of-way. The agreement for the maintenance of the private right-of-way was made when there was no garage or building used as a garage present on Mr. Williams' property. My responsibility for the maintenance of 265 feet of this right-of-way is just one of the many problems. This private right-of-way is only 10 feet from my backyard, and the noise of the traffic entering and exiting is easily heard even inside my home. Mr. Williams' customers have trespassed on my property, in addition have backed into my private driveway entrance to my garage. The speeding and recklessness of the drivers of these vehicles cannot be controlled by signs, since there would be no police enforcement except on Martin's Farm Road. This has been a serious safety concern. The entire length of my backyard is alongside the right-of-way. My entrance to my private garage and my entire front yard, backyard, deck, and back entrance to my home are completely exposed to his customers' view as they enter and exit his property. My wife and child would have no privacy to enjoy any of my property adjacent to this private drive and Mr. Williams' property. The number of vehicles would be limited if it were used only for a residential access, but is excessive as a business use. Mr. Williams does not own any frontage on Martin's Farm Road and does not have a separate entrance. This private right-of-way deeded to my property should not be allowed to be used for business traffic. I'd like to just tell two stories. I had a family of people pull into my driveway and park their truck in my yard. parked in my yard and waited until Mr. Williams came by, and then they followed him up the road.
When you say they parked in your yard, you mean they stopped and stood in your yard, or they parked the car and got
the
out?
The driveway is here.
No, you're not answering my question. Parked or stopped and waited?
Parked.
Parked, got out, park. Left the vehicle, walked away?
There was
away.
Children walking around my
okay.
yard.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure that everybody understands what you're saying.
Now, it's what it was on the right of way. They pulled off, you know, into the tree area.
Okay.
And then I've had a young gentleman speeding up and down the driveway. I have a young child on the way. There's nothing to block, you know how little kids can wander around.
Sure can.
People aren't going to be expecting a little child if she was to, you know, walk out into the road. Excuse me. And I've also had people back out of his driveway, down my road, into my entrance near my garage, and then like peel out and speed off down the driveway. Now, I've also just had my mailbox smashed because of my opposition to this, and a police report was sent. So I took that as a threat to myself and to my family.
Did somebody tell you that that's why they were smashing your mailbox?
No, but Mr. Williams' mailbox is right next to mine. So why was mine and Mrs. Folk and Mr. Dufresne's were also vandalized, but nobody else on the entire road?
Okay.
I'm not saying that anybody had a part of it. I'm just, I took it as a personal threat.
Okay.
I really don't have anything else to say. I don't, if I plan to sell my house, I don't want to have a $50,000 loss. That's not why I moved down here.
Okay.
As far as an agreement with Mr. Williams, we did shake hands. I told him it was based on a conversation. If he were to get the conditional usage, that we would have a conversation on what happens with the rest of the driveway. There wasn't an agreement of me saying he's allowed to come up, to use it for a business. I explicitly said I do not want any kind of business with heavy traffic on the way.
Is that in the deed or the easement agreement for the driveway?
In the deed, I have to pay, or I'm responsible.
Is there a prohibition in the deed that says it can't be used for any kind of business use or anything?
That I don't know. I'm not too well versed.
That's fine. Just asking a question.
That's all I have.
All right, sir. We thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
may I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Since you share the driveway, what would your feelings be about having speed bumps? Would that help alleviate some of your concerns or fears about the speeding?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, now all of a sudden I have to, go over speed bumps every day because people don't know how to watch their speed going up and down basically what's a long driveway.
Or at least if the speed bumps were located on his portion, they wouldn't be on your portion.
I wouldn't think you'd want to put them between the entrance to your house and the road. You'd want them beyond that if you want to do it.
But I mean, is that really going to stop anybody from speeding up? Some of these guys have huge lifted trucks. I mean, if you're in a lifted truck, a speed bump's not going to stop you from deciding to drive however fast you want on the driveway.
Might jar loose all your cavities.
I'm sorry?
It might jar loose all your cavities. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, you're welcome. And we thank you, sir.
Any other questions there?
Don't think so. If we do, we'll get back with you.
Thank you.
All right, sir, all the way in the back, the T-shirt, you right there, come on. That'd be you. There we go.
Good evening, my name's Luther Layton. I live approximately a mile from where Charles lives, and I have 15 acres and the same type thing. I have residential houses in front of me. I would think it would be inappropriate for me to open up a garage behind those residential homes. I also go over when the Charles' neighbors are away, and I take care of their horses. And I have seen the abandoned cars on Charles's property until the county came out and made him get rid of them. I think this is absolutely ridiculous to even consider that an acre and a half of land would be used for an automobile repair shop. It's just too close to the houses. I think it's inconsiderate of the neighbors that are there, and I don't think that a residential area should be used as a repair shop. I also know that the Frames, who had five horses, and one horse they had for 14 years after they complained about Charles' abandoned cars, the county was called on them, and apparently there's an obscure law that says you can only have four horses within 100 feet of someone else's property. They had this horse for probably 14 years, and I had to help them find a home to get rid of it because they had to abide by the rules of their community. And I think Charles should have to abide by the rules too. I don't think there should be exceptions made for him. There was no exceptions made for the DeFrames to get rid of their horse that they had for 14 years. So I think the same consideration should be given. I thank you for your time.
All right, what's your first name again? I missed it.
Pardon me?
First name?
Luther.
My first name's Luther.
Okay, L-E-K-H-E-R. Thank you.
Mr. Lank, did the county, in fact, cite Mr. Williams for having abandoned cars and seek to have them removed that you know of?
For violations on the applicant for certain activities.
Okay. Thank you. All right, sir. Yes, sir. Right here.
Hello, my name is Louis Capano. I live on Shady Rest Lane, up the street from the applicant. The motor repair shop they spoke of is actually my neighbor, but he owns the whole plot of land, and there's no tow trucks going up on his land. You never hear anything there. My concern with having an auto repair shop is tow trucks going up a private driveway, and like the owner of that property said, if he only has to repair two cars at a time, if he's doing oil changes, he could do 10 cars in one day, you know, if he lines them up. And I think it's a bad idea to have an auto repair shop in an AR. It's all chicken houses and farmland there and horse farms. And that's about all I have to say about it.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Gotta love them.
Gotta love them. Okay, we have a doubleheader. All righty.
I'm John Reamer. This is my wife, Patricia McGee Reamer. We live at 27267 Martins Farm Road. I am three properties to the west on the north side of the road.
Okay.
From Mr. Williams.
Thank you. Okay.
I have 5 acres. I have been there since, excuse me, July of 85. I basically moved out to this area because it is an agricultural area.
Yeah.
I wanted to live in an agricultural area. We have several chicken houses out there. We have, not myself, I'm sorry, neighbors.
I get what you mean.
Okay. We have several people that raise horses. There are people that are growing crops. I'm concerned about possible petroleum contamination of the ground and the water, both for agricultural uses and for our residential uses. Now, Mr. Brady made a comment that he could handle two cars at a time. And just like Mr. Capano said, he could possibly handle up to 10 cars or more a day at that rate. When Mr. Williams was up here, he made a comment, oh, no more than 4 cars a week. Now, what is it? Now, if it is...
If we decide that it's even something that should happen there, we'll pretty much decide how many will be there, because that would be a stipulation.
I'm just voicing my concerns, our concerns.
Point well taken. Point well taken.
My property is on an S-curve, just a short distance away from Mr. Williams. Now, I'm concerned about the increased traffic. If this is going to become possibly 10 vehicles a day, vehicles in and out, I have had my mailbox hit several times on this S-curve. I have pulled people out of the ditch in front of my house several times. I have had people sitting on my front lawn because of this S-curve. They travel a little bit too fast. There are people that ride horses up and down that road. With increased traffic, I think that would curtail that. We enjoy watching the horses go by. Mr. Brady also made a comment that this is his hobby. I don't think his hobby is in question. Apparently now it doesn't want to be a hobby. We're talking about renting out a facility for car repairs. We're talking about hiring a mechanic. That's more than just a hobby. If he wanted to have a hobby and do repairs, which I have hobbies too, and I have helped people out and helped them out with their vehicles, that's fine. But now we are talking about monetary exchange. I think this is an agricultural area. We want to keep it an agricultural area. We don't want it to become like a commercial area. I understand the definition by Mr. Brady. It will not change the zoning, but it will become more like a commercial usage.
All right, sir. We thank you. And thank ma'am, you did a great job. Okay, who's next? Well, she came up here and did exactly what she said she was going to do. Come on up. That, to me, is a great job. Okay, and this lady's bringing her bodyguard.
I'll help.
All right, then.
Hi, my name is Carol Kane. This is my husband, John Kane.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to be quiet back there, if you would, because we need to listen to these folks. Go ahead.
We live across the street, approximately three houses down, on Featherbed Lane, right on the S-curve, which is also a problem. We've had several people in our ditches, and they have damaged our mailbox. We're on mailbox number 5. So it is a hazardous road with traffic. We strongly and fiercely against changing this from a AR1, which is we feel is why we bought there. We bought the property 27 years ago. We built our home 16 years ago, and we bought there because we wanted to live in a quiet residential farming area, and this is what we would like it to stay. We feel a business, and this is what he's asking for. He's not asking for a hobby. He's asking to have and run a business. And businesses should stay in areas where they're located under major arteries. Martin's Farm Road is just a simple neighborhood road, and there are no other businesses running cars, traffic, and everything up and down Martin's Farm Road. And also only on 1.5 acres. It's not large enough to have for parking and everything else for a business. So allowing a business would decrease our property value. No one wants to live in an area where there's cars and business and noise, and we just feel that it's a negative against us. And the rights of one taxpayer citizen in this county should not be favored over another. We bought, build, and enjoy living in an area that's AR1. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to point out that...
give us your name. You can.
John Kane. I thought she pointed that out.
I did.
My name is John Kane, and I live in the same house as my wife, right across the street, two lots to the west.
The reason we ask you to do that is that all these proceedings are recorded, and it doesn't recognize your face.
I think you should realize that this is not a garage. This is 1,800 square feet, enough for 8 cars to fit inside. Outside on the back porch is another 950 square feet that's covered, not enclosed, but covered. On the front, there's another 950 square feet. So we're talking about room for 13 cars. So what's to prevent him from putting 13 cars in there? And before he cleaned up the junkyard in the back, I'm concerned about the rats and everything else in the junkyard. Well, you'll see pictures. I guess you already have it. Anyway, that's part of my concerns, mostly. And that the construction of the shed is 2 inches from his house, this shop. When I told the fire marshal that, he said it can't be. It has to be 3 feet. I said it's 2 inches. And he said he would look into it, the fire marshal.
Alrighty.
No firewalls, no sprinkler system. He can't believe it. The fire marshal can't believe it. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you. Yep, we're good. Okay, who's next? Okay, going once. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition?
I have something for you, gentlemen.
Okay, well, we need to have your name first.
My name is Margaret Folk, and I live at 27331 Martin's Farm Road.
Okay.
And I was hoping I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have to speak right away because of, was hoping I wouldn't be able to speak right away because of the,
because of what?
Sorry. Because of my horse.
Or your horse.
I didn't want anybody to mention that. Okay. Okay, these are for you, gentlemen. Because they have some pictures attached to them, may I give them out?
Yes, you
I'll
may.
I'll pass them out for you.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Lank will pass them down for us. Thank you.
Some pictures attached to the back. And where I have pink highlights on the my presentation is where that you will be going to the back to look at the other pictures. But before I start my presentation, I certainly want to go over what has been presented here. We did put out signs. The reason we put out signs is because there was no way anybody could see the public sign from the road. It was 270 feet back. And I would like to read you a memo, an email actually that was emailed to Mr. Lank. It says, I guess my neighbors think y'all aren't doing your job well enough. Here's her sign. And then he puts, be so kind as to hit me back and let me know you received my document via email. I will confirm I have the right address. Thank you very much, Lawrence. I wrote, this is a memo I copied from the above file. A new low has been reached. Why should my concern that a public notice not be visible to the public be treated as a joke? What happened to sunshine and transparency in government? Is this just a campaign slogan? Joking and being on a first-name basis is not very professional. That's the one thing I have to say about the sign. Now, I have to say something else about the sign. We put on that he was requesting a C1 use, and I will explain that fully. The first place anything similar to an auto repair appears in the code is filling station under B1 district. The first place the words auto repair per se.
Did you read the sign that was posted in the yard?
Yes.
Well, then you knew it wasn't a C1 application.
Well, the sign that I put up, I put on C1 use.
Yeah.
The reason I did that is because the first place an auto repair shop appears in that wording per se in the code is a permitted use in C1. So that was why it was a misunderstanding that it was a C1 use because it's allowed only in C1. And I apologize if there was a misunderstanding, but I put that explanation on the sign. I said, this is the reason we feel it's a C1 use, and I put it on. And I even told people to go to E-Code 360 to read the code.
Okay.
So I apologize for that.
That's fine. No apology necessary. Just tell us why this isn't a good place to put a auto repair.
Well, there was a Jiffy Lube running. The parts trucks were coming in about 6 a day, sometimes 4 a day, sometimes 6 a day. And the cars were coming out in and out every hour. They were coming in, getting on the lift. I would time it. I have a log. I have films. And they would come out an hour later. And it was a virtual Jiffy Lube. We filed a complaint because of that. The 8 p.m., really, you know, that's not good for a garage. Most garages close at 6. The open doors for the exhaust, yes, that has been all the time. The doors are always open. His ministry, I don't think should have been brought into it because, you know, people can go other places for ministry rather than an auto repair shop. But anyway,
he didn't apply for that. Yeah.
Most of these people that spoke for Mr. Williams do not even live in our area. They're from the church or from Millsboro, from Georgetown, and they wouldn't want us to be bringing our cars over into their backyards and working on them every day and every night. They wouldn't want that. And as far as Steve Scarfo, he says he's in favor of it. Well, when Mr. Williams was cited originally, he was cited for all the junk vehicles in his backyard. And I don't know if I put this in your packet, but as you can see here in the red circle, this was just loaded with junk vehicles. There was at least 15 to 20, and they were loaded on top of one another. And of course, a complaint, that was when the complaint for the Jiffy Lube was filed. So just let me go back to this a second. Those cars that Mr. Williams said he removed were taken over to Steve Scarfo's property. Here's pictures of the cars on Steve Scarfo's property. Cars, junk cars on top of junk cars, and they are still there. These pictures were just taken recently. I'm going to say a week ago. Okay. These are the pictures of the junk back there. Now, I mean, I'm coming to you with clean hands. I gave up a horse that was born on my property, and I had it for 14 years. Mr. Williams never complained about it. But he did in retaliation for me complaining that he was running an auto garage. And the horse had never done anything to him. So these are the pictures, and I'm going to put these in for exhibit. So that's where the junk cars went. They went to Mr. Sparkman's property. So many of his letters that were sent in had this do-as-you-please attitude. We think everybody should be able to do as they please with their property. Do as they please. Well, when it hurts other people, that's stepping on someone else's rights. Your rights only extend to where you step on someone else's. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Now I'd like to make my presentation, which is going to have to be really, really fast. This business was operating in violation of the code. Mr. Williams came to us, and he told us he was just going to operate on his work on his own cars, okay? But that wasn't the case. When we saw many, many parts trucks coming in and out and strangers were on our property looking for an auto repair shop, we filed a complaint of him running a business. We provided emails from people stating what they paid for, $900, $700, and explained exactly what he did on their cars and the money and canceled checks signed by Mr. Williams. So we thought we had presented enough evidence to the inspector. But we didn't know the code. The inspector knew the code. He knew the building was being used as a garage. The professional lift, the diagnostic equipment, he knew the size was oversized, 1,800 square feet instead of the allowed 900 square feet, twice as big plus extensions on each end. He also had access to the building permit, which was not for a garage. You have this in your packet. He applied for this garage stating he had 5.01 acres. He did not. At that time, he had 1.5 acres. He asked for a pole building, and under use, he put pole building. That's how he got it without a special use permit. Because he lied on it, on the conditional use. The CO, it also says pole building. And the AR1 definition of a private garage not only is 900 square feet and four cars, it's storage only. The word only is very specific. It doesn't mean storage and six different guys using it and 12 different their friends and maybe that friend's friend. It means only.
That's right, and that's why he's here, ma'am.
So what happened was the inspector told us, and he told me personally, and I wrote memos about it later, to Susan Isaacs. He said, no sign, no business. And he left. He didn't talk to anybody. I asked him to please talk to Robert Walker, because he was the one most affected by this. Never talked to him. No sign, no business. Well, we believed him because we didn't read the code. We didn't know the code at that time. I didn't know. So we just continued, and it was because non-enforcement at that time that he was allowed to continue the use of that building for auto repairs. Then early in 2012, in the spring, we complained to Mr. Williams about a trespass of his customers on our property. He informed us he rented the garage to Chuck Murphy. We saw Mr. Murphy had a sign on his truck, "At the Beach Auto Marine Care, towing available, etc.," and his phone number. Mr. Williams told us Mr. Murphy did not have a business license. We filed another complaint. The violation of the size, the violation of the use, continued. Support letters submitted by Mr. Williams verify that he was accepting donations for the rental of his garage, lift, tools, and every letter states they used his garage to repair their autos.
Ma'am, and here he is applying for conditional use.
And I understand
I appreciate what you've been through, but really, that's not relevant to the decision we're here to make.
Okay.
We need to know why this is or is not a good place to have an auto.
Well, Mr. Williams then says he needs this building for his financial needs. He was given by us, actually, because we wanted to help him out. He said he needed the money to pay his mortgage, $150,000 for the front and back portions of the property. He built something in violation of the code. He is also receiving full workman's compensation.
Ma'am, I'm going to stop you. If you need to stick to the topic,
okay,
or I'm going to ask you to stop, okay?
Well,
I don't care about whether you sold him land or any of that stuff.
Okay.
It's not relevant.
We feel he could rent a garage on Route 1 or Route 9 or in Millsboro, since most of his customers are there, and that he could use the thousands of dollars worth of professional equipment he has, but put it in a suitable location.
Okay.
I've included on this, and it's in your packet, the yellow pages showing how many garages are available in our area already, and there's advertisements for garages for rent, which he could easily do. The other concerns we have are that he could do other things that he could find to raise rent other than an auto garage, like having a roommate probably, maybe renting a room. Any of these things would be better than requesting a conditional use to operate a high traffic deprecating use in an AR1 district. He created his own financial situation, and therefore that shouldn't be something that controls whether he gets the conditional use. No real community need has been shown. The only community need that has been shown has been in the Millsboro area, not in our area. We are concerned about the lack of restrooms. We're concerned about storage of hazardous materials, no fencing, possibility of crime. There were two reported robberies in our area. Vandalism, there were reports just recently. And the amount of impervious surfaces, and also the test driving repeatedly of vehicles being repaired, which wasn't mentioned at all. He says only two vehicles there. But I've seen them go out for test drives 3 and 4 times to come back to get tweaked. Sometimes they go back in the garage, and sometimes they get tweaked out front. His plan contains none of the restrictions of the B1, which would be all work done inside, a fence around the whole property, solid and 6 foot high, and wrecked or junked or stripped vehicles in an inoperative condition would be prohibited. Not some are his and some are somebody else's, but prohibited. He has stated that he only has two on his property in his letters. He has three. He has three visible to the neighbors. So, I also wanted to say that he says that he has also plans none of the strict provisions of B1, and the enforceable speed sign and a few possible maybe trees wouldn't grow fast enough. His promise of operating inside the garage with doors down is negated by this attached photo. This was taken August the 16th, they were working on a really souped up car outside in the evening, hood up, garage doors open. So what he says and what he does have always been two different things.
Okay.
The site was an eyesore until Mr. Williams was forced to clean up. The significant amount of the traffic using a private right-of-way is also a concern. Property values will be adversely affected. Some of his, some of the people that commented on this said that they wouldn't be, they would not be affected because all of the properties on Martin's Farm Road are in a state of disrepair. Mr. Walker's house is only 3 years old. Mine is only 5 years old. They're not in a state of disrepair. But these letters from licensed real estate agents both state, and one lives right on our road, that this would be detrimental to our property values on our road, even though it's a conditional use. Who's to say he wouldn't sell his property and someone else would use it? How do we get these things enforced? We couldn't possibly get him enforced for the use of the garage to begin with. Now, if he operates with the garage doors up, who am I going to call? Who's going to enforce this? I drove down Route 1, Bob's. I drove up to Route 9. I drove all over. I was out at Classic. They all have their doors up. Nobody enforces it. So we're very close. We're not in a business area, but I'm sure that it wouldn't be enforced in our area either. We are in an extremely low-density area. Most of the properties in our area are 5 acres. A lot are bigger, and there's a lot of agricultural use. The Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan references the following regarding permitted uses in low-density areas. The primary uses envisioned in low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. And more, and this is a quote, more intense commercial uses such as auto repair and gasoline sales should be avoided in these areas. This plan has the specific words auto repair. This application also fails to meet the standards set forth in the code under 115.171, conditional use, which is supposed to enhance the purpose of the AR1 regulation. In no way can a auto repair garage, which is supposed to be kept out, enhance an agricultural area. It doesn't even fit. There are a total of 54 letters in opposition to this. Additionally, I would like to point out that on this, in your packet, you will see this particular paper. And out of the 6 people, which Mr. Williams is included, so I guess he votes for himself, but out of the 6 people within 200 feet of his property, 4 of them are opposed. Now, Mr. Friedman has subdivided his property into 3 lots. That should count as 3. But the way he's listed, it sounds like he only owns 1 piece of property there. He owns 3. The only thing I have to say in closing is there has been a precedent set with regard to the use of the building in the case of the soup kitchen. The building had road frontage on Route 9, and it had road frontage on Cool Spring Road. In this case, there is no road frontage on Martin's Farm Road, but access is only through a private right-of-way. Additionally, in that case, they were not even allowed to have volunteers work in the kitchen. Mr. Williams has had all kinds of people doing auto repair work in his garage. When the use of a garage in AR1 is storage only, and the word only, why did they add that to the code? Because it's restrictive. That's all I have to say. We are very opposed to this, and there's a lot of reasons, and we just don't want to get in this situation anymore where we have to fight with the county to try to get something enforced when it's impossible. We would rather just he use his garage for his own personal vehicles. If he wants to work on his own personal vehicles, we wouldn't have a problem with that, and we never did. But bringing strangers' vehicles in and working on them there should not be allowed. He has plenty of money in those tools. Even Robbie said they're a real asset. They're worth thousands of dollars. He can move them into a garage or he can sell them. But his friends should be working on their cars in their residential areas, not our residential areas. They wouldn't be allowed to do this in their residential areas. In fact, Mr. Murphy operates his business in a residential area out of his backyard. And I'm sure he's probably had complaints, so he wants to operate in Mr. Williams' garage. With that lift in there, everybody wants Mr. Williams' garage, and everybody goes in there. And he is not stopping. The fact that he isn't getting money should not have a thing to do with it. The soup lady wasn't asking for money for the soup. The people weren't making noises slurping. Maybe some of them were. But there was no objectionable noise, objectionable smells. Soup smells good. And there wasn't the problems we have with this use of this building. And yet, she was denied, and Mr. Williams doesn't even have his own access to this. It's not fair to any of these neighbors who have written, who are here, to put this in the middle of this agricultural residential area. There's no reason for it. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I took longer, but they said so much.
Okay. We thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, sir.
I was waiting to be the last one.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about being the last one. If you start saying a whole bunch of things other people have already said.
Oh, I'm not going to. See, I had this all wrote down.
Okay.
It's all wrote down, and it's all been said by somebody else. So I'm going to ad-lib it. My name's George Dufresne. I live right next door to Mr. Williams. I've lived there for 26 years. I was approached by Mr. Williams here on August 4th. Keep my nose out of this business. I don't own property. No, but I own horses right next door, 50 feet away from his barn. I've seen his tow dollies, his tow trucks come around there, spook my horses, ready to put them through the fence. I am not going to spend any money or go to the work to put any more fence up for his operation. Your question, Mr. Johnson, about putting up speed bumps. Put up 20 speed bumps, and I guarantee you, within the first day, those people are going to drive around those speed bumps like they do at Walmart, Kmart, wherever, and they're going to drive right around them through his septic field, Mr. Walker's. A $20,000 system. Like I said, I'm ad-libbing this. I'm hard of hearing. Did I hear Mr. Williams say he's not allowed to work on cars or can't work on cars? I have personally witnessed this man work on cars, replace rear spindles, jack them up out in the driveway. I've seen him cut muffler systems off. I've seen him replace tires. I've seen him work on Hummers. I've seen him work on Cadillacs and screw old ladies.
All right, sir.
I'm sorry about my French.
All right, okay.
But I've got a little heated up from this.
I understand.
I have seen this man bring in 15 to 20 cars a day, documented. There is no need for this kind of operation. This man can't tell the truth. The only time he tells the truth is when his mouth is shut. I didn't do that to you.
Sir, you're going to speak to me and me alone, okay?
I'm done.
You done?
Thank you.
All right, sir, take your seat. Thank you. All right, anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Marlene Henry, 27177 Martins Farm Road, Milton, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there since 1980, April 18th. I really love my acre. I really do. My mother lived there before me, beside me. I have nice neighbors now. I have nice neighbors all around me. I love my neighborhood. It's nice. We have some speeders. What are you going to do? And I don't want it to change. I don't want any businesses. If one gets a nose in, I'm afraid it might start something that might not end. And I'm afraid. I'm a widow. And I just love it here in Delaware, and I don't want anything to happen to disturb my life. Thank
okay.
you.
Fair enough. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, before we close the public hearing, first I want to thank all of you for coming. Thank all of you who spoke. I know it's not something you do every time. It takes a great deal of courage to get up and do something like that, and we appreciate it. And we take all your comments under advisement. And I just want you to know that we're sure no matter what we do, somebody's going to be unhappy. But we will make the best decision we can, and we will do it carefully and deliberately and with mindfulness to all of your concerns. Now, before I adjourn the public hearing, I want to ask you to do me a favor. When I do, you're all going to want to get up, and for some reason, when people get up, their mouths start running. And the problem with that is we're still having a meeting, okay? So what I'd like you to do for me, if you would, is if you would just, if you're not going to stay, if you would just get up, walk out quietly, go out in the lobby or out on the steps and visit all you want out there, if you would, please. All right, then, the public hearing is adjourned. You may wish to remain with us until we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.